Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. Former President Donald Trump was acquitted yesterday of inciting his supporters to attack the U.S. Capitol last month. The vote was 57-43 to convict, not the two-thirds majority required. NPR's Domenica Montanaro reports seven Republicans joined the Democrats in voting to convict.
It's also kind of reflected in what the polls had shown going into this, something like 56% of people saying that they were in favor of President Trump's conviction. And like I said, moved a couple of Republicans who, you know, wanted to be favorable toward the president. And I think it's a real indictment of the kind of case that Trump's lawyers presented. You know, it was pretty preordained. And had they stuck to this narrow constitutional argument, they might have had more votes.
NPR's Domenica Montanaro. President Biden called the impeachment trial a sad chapter in American history and a reminder that democracy is fragile. Fox News hosts named as defendants in a $2.7 billion lawsuit against the network say their 2020 election coverage reflected their work as journalists, reporting and commenting on matters of public interest. NPR's David Folkenflik reports the claim arises in response to a suit filed by a voting technology company.
Smartmatic alleges that Fox News, Lou Dobbs, Maria Bartiromo, and Jeanine Pirro conspired with two of former President Donald Trump's attorneys to smear the company as being at the core of a concentrated effort to steal the election from Trump. In fact, President Biden won the elections freely and fairly, with no evidence of any widespread voter fraud. Dobbs, Bartiromo, and Pirro were among the most prominent Fox personalities to amplify and give credence to such wild claims. Lawyers for the three say they were exploring questions raised about the elections from all sides of the issue, including Trump's. They argue that's what First Amendment protections are for. David Folkenflik, NPR News.
The Biden administration is out with new guidance to help schools reopen for in-person instruction or to safely stay open. NPR's Tamara Keith reports.
President Biden said he wanted most schools reopened for classroom instruction by his 100th day in office. But the administration has since lowered expectations about what open really means. The debate often puts parents at odds with school administrators and teachers. Northern Virginia parent and Republican political consultant Rory Cooper says this hits the suburban voters who were key to Biden's election.
I live in a very blue area, and the parents who live around me are frustrated. They're mad. It's been a year of their children not being in schools. They're ready for the kids to go back. They believe it can be done safely.
The CDC says the new guidance is meant to help school districts, but that the agency isn't mandating that schools reopen. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR News. A winter storm is blanketing much of the Pacific Northwest with ice and snow. It's disrupting travel across the region and interrupting electrical service for hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses. Portland General Electric, the largest utility in Oregon, says it may take a few days to restore power to everyone. The Canadian government is set to introduce a new gun control law. Dan Karpinchuk reports the legislation could come before Parliament as early as this week.
In addition to the bans on several types of weapons, the government of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is proposing stricter storage provisions and would also target gun smuggling. The ban on assault-style weapons covers about 1,500 models and variants, with the government saying they were built for war, not for hunting or sport shooting. Those weapons can no longer be legally used, sold, or imported in Canada. The proposed law would also include a program to buy back those assault-style weapons, but allow owners to keep them under strict conditions. That move has angered gun control advocates who want the buyback mandatory. The government would also give municipalities the power to manage the storage and use of handguns, given that those municipalities have different needs. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
A 7.3 magnitude earthquake struck northeastern Japan last night. It set off a landslide and stopped trains. No major injuries were reported. The quake did not cause a tsunami. It shook the same region where a powerful earthquake and tsunami had triggered a meltdown at the Fukushima nuclear power plant nearly 10 years ago. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.